to encounter the presence of God first and foremost. But tonight I want to do some, we need to come in and study and learn and all of that. So I want to come in and hammer some teaching tonight, some stuff I feel like the Lord has spoken to me. And just I really want to provoke thought, and I want to teach you some stuff on a more mature way to pray about some things. And so we really want to spend a little time on that. Y'all can go ahead and turn over to Isaiah 44 if you want to. Isaiah 44. I'll try not to be too political tonight, but I'll go ahead and forewarn you. I'm going to be a little bit political just because I think that we have a mandate before us, and that is irregardless of who was just elected president, we still had a mandate before us as the church, okay? I feel like one of the big errors of the church has been our approach to what we view as too liberal or illegitimate presidents and all of that. Last night there was some protest in L.A. and they were chanting, "Not my president, not my president." I'm like, sorry, dude, it's your president. If you're an American citizen, that's your president. Just like for the last 8 years, President Obama has been my president. President Clinton was my president. Jimmy Carter was my president. All of these guys are my president as a citizen of the United States. And I feel like one of the errors of the church is we have come in, and if it's not the color that we want it to be, whether it's red or blue or black or white or whatever, then we spend more time complaining and griping and dogging out than we do praying for and interceding for and all of that. And so this is not a thing of I'm going to preach this powerful message because Trump got elected and Hillary got defeated and all of that. I'm coming in, and if Hillary had been elected president last night, guess what? My message should have been very, very, very similar, okay? And so this is not about where your party lies and all that. This is our responsibility as the children of God, okay? And so we want to come in, and I want to hopefully teach you, enlighten some stuff. I feel like the Lord has shown me some good things. And so we're going to really dig in that and plow in that. So if you're thinking this is about Republicans won and Democrats lost, come on, get deeper than that and get over that. All right, I promise you this is not what this is about. I want us to, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get started. And just ask God's blessing on this evening, that He would just open up our ears, open up our mind, open up our hearts, so that we can hear from Him and just really engage heaven and let Him mold us and shape us and teach us. So, Michael, you want to lead us tonight before we jump in?
Amen. Just marinate in Your Word and in Your presence, Father. Thank You for this place that we have, that we can come and we can be safe with each other, with our brothers and sisters, and just get fed from Your Word. Pray that You just speak through Sydney and just work on him and give him peace with the word he's about to bring to his Father. And pray that You just lead, guide, and protect everyone here. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I did last night. I did what I said I wasn't going to do when I left work. I told James, I said, I am not going to turn on the TV at 7 o'clock and watch it all night long. And I turned on the TV at 6:30. And I went to bed after 1 o'clock, and I sit there and I watched, flip back and forth between three stations, for a lot of reasons. Obviously, I wanted to see the results, but I wanted to hear the different commentaries and all of that. I heard something that was in my mind a great compliment to the church, and it did not come from a evangelical or anything. It came from a liberal person. They were talking about, and this was toward the end when it looked like Trump was going to win, and they were all amazed because they were saying, Hillary, the Democratic Party, had this huge ground game. I mean, they had this machine, just millions and millions and millions of dollars. They said in the state of Pennsylvania, I think it was, they knocked on over 2 million doors in one day. The day before the election, they personally knocked on over 2 million doors in one state. And so they said they had this huge ground game and this machine to try to get people to go out and vote and to mobilize people to vote. And they were saying, and Trump didn't have that. He had zero infrastructure on that. He had no ground game or anything like that. And one of the liberal commentators said, yes, he did. And he said it was unaccounted for. And he said he had the church. And he said the church mobilized people to go out and to vote and to try to make a difference and all of that. And he went on that for a few minutes. And I was just sitting there saying, that's a pretty good testimony, because that should be what we're about in society in any arena, not just on the presidential election, but in any arena. And so, you know, I thought that was a very good compliment. I want to, Lori's not here tonight. She had a migraine, and so she said, don't talk about me bad from the pulpit, but I'm laying on the couch tonight with a pain pill. And so, very glad that Lori and Sonny and some of the ladies that were doing their Bible study up here on last Wednesday night, they had, and Terry and all you guys are here, they had this unction that we need to do 24-hour prayer for the election. And we actually need to sign up for time slots. And, you know, they had Sonny printed out states, and they were praying over states. I mean, getting specific. Praying, Lori was, you know, I was up here early Tuesday morning or Monday morning, and then late Monday night, we closed it down Monday night, me and Lori and Robert and Jeffrey, and, you know, and as she was walking by me, I could just, you know, just praying her guts out over swing states and all of that. And so I really appreciate all you ladies. Y'all let God speak to y'all, that y'all said, man, let's do something. Let's do something more. And because that push didn't come from leadership. That push, it did come from leadership, but it didn't come from the pastor or deacons or anything like that. It came from mothers in the house and said, we feel this push from God. And so let's do something. So I just appreciate everybody in the church that stepped up, whether you prayed at home or you came up here and physically prayed. You know, just trying to shift the heavens. In the natural, it made no sense that the outcome would be the way that it was, but it did. And so I do want to say this. Right now, we have an opportunity as a nation. Let's throw personalities out, because I'll be honest with you, I didn't care for either candidate. I always vote conservative, but I didn't care for either candidate. I wouldn't give you a dime for Hillary, and I wouldn't give you really a dime for Trump, in the sense of I wouldn't want to hang out with them. They wouldn't be one of my guys that I'm gonna do life with these guys, because I so can connect with them. That's neither one of them on this. But our country is now in a position where we have an opportunity that, regardless of who you like personality-wise or this, I don't think that there's a Christian, a true Christian, that is breathing on this planet that couldn't say that the United States of America hadn't swung way too far to the left. When we come in and I have to worry about my 10-year-old kid being in the bathroom with some transgender joker in the schoolhouse, we're jacked up as a country. Okay? I'll say that. The lesbian gay agenda has got way, 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 way out of hand. All right? The abortion issue. And I'll be a one-issue guy. Me and James have always said, I'll be a one-issue guy on the way I vote. I cast my vote simply based on the abortion issue. If you're pro-abortion, I will not vote for you. And if you're pro-life, you're going to get my vote. You could be as dumb as that mule over there, but if I know you're going to push a conservative pro-life agenda, you know what? You got my vote. I'm just being blunt. I'm not trying to get too political tonight, but I feel strongly about that. And so I don't think there's a Christian, a true Christian living on this planet that couldn't say a lot of these issues we have swung way too far to the left on. All right? Whether there's liberal Republicans out there, there's liberal Democrats out there, I am not coming in here and dogging party lines. I'm talking about as a nation. And we are sitting in an opportunity in a strategic time, in a strategic position right now, to help define the people, the demographics that sit on the Supreme Court. which I personally think it's kind of stupid that as a country we allow 9 lawyers to dictate the course of our nation. But I'm just saying that, throw that out there for anybody that cares. But we do have the opportunity right now to come in and to shift our country back to a conservative place. I heard one of the commentators, and he was not meaning this as a compliment. He said, I really feel like we've taken a step back into the 1950s. And what he was saying is that we had regressed back into the 1950s. And you know what I said? Amen, absolutely. I hope we have taken a step back into the 1950s. I hope we have. I hope we have. So I just see this opportunity in front of us, okay? And I'll say this, guys. When I was praying up here, the way the Lord really, really pushed me to pray early Tuesday morning and Tuesday night, or Monday morning, Monday night, throughout the day and all of that stuff, was not necessarily coming in and saying, God, make a way for the red states to win and God do this and God do that. Nearly the entire thrust of my prayers were for the counselors of whoever got elected. God had me focusing on the counselors that would be in place for whoever became our next king. That was the thrust of my prayers. I was down here and I'd be trying to pray for a swing state and I just couldn't do it. And I just kept going back to the place of God, the counselors that are going to be in play in this. They are going to be giving counsel to whoever gets elected. And God, we need the right people giving wise counsel. We need the right people giving godly, biblical counsel. That is what we need, even more so than just having the right person in the right chair. I'll take a group of counselors that can impute that. That, to me, that trumps. I mean, y'all ever played Rook? Y'all know how to play Rook? Now, what the Rook? You know the Rook? It's the old crow on there, and it tops everything. I've had hands where I've had the rook but didn't have anything else. And that rook will pull one draw. And it'll get anyone. It'll get the little rook. If you play with the little rook, it'll get any hand out there one time. I'd much rather have a hand that's loaded with ones and 14s. Because I can do some good with that. You give me about 6 trump cards, and I'll give you the rook. Because you'll pull one draw, and I'll get everything else. So my thrust on prayer was, God, put a multitude of wise counselors around whoever gets elected. And so I really want to come in and I want to do a little bit of teaching tonight on the significance and our opportunity to not only focus our prayers on the council of people that are surrounding these new leaders, but also our responsibility when God positions us in a place of counsel. We think that the only time that we have this influence, this strong influence, is when we're running the show. You know, there's a Greek saying out there that the man is the head that runs the household, but the woman is the neck that turns the head. Right? I'm not always going to be the head. But there are times when God will position me to where I'll be the neck that can help turn the head. Okay? We see it throughout the Bible. And so I want us to talk about that, and I want us to put some emphasis and some thrust on praying for the counselors. We're gonna come together in a little while, and we're gonna pray for. I was encouraged by a couple things last night as I listened to the newly elected president's speech at the end. I was encouraged by, he was specifically pointing out people like Ben Carson and Mike Huckabee, people that I know that are godly men, and pointing them out. And my prayer is that he has a push to put people like that on his cabinet. All right? If I had my ruthers, I'd have voted for Ben Carson the whole time, and he'd be my sitting president right now if I had my ruthers. All right? And that doesn't mean I'm a white man and voted for a white guy and all that. I'd rather have a black president right now named Ben Carson than I had the whole lot. All right? So this is not about demographics and Trump and all of that stuff, you know. So anyway, I want to say that and throw that out there. I was encouraged by that. So now we as a church, I can't help but think, and I'm not saying just us, but I can't help but think that there was a the ground movement of the church, that there was a shift in the atmosphere. Because what I saw last night and the opportunity that's in front of us just looked so, it felt supernatural to me all night long. And I'm not saying you didn't see me running around. I ain't got no Trump t-shirts and no, you know, goofy looking Trump hats like he wears. I don't have any of that stuff. But what I felt like in this opportunity for our nation to get more centered back to what the Bible says, I will declare what the Bible says. And this Bible is, God is 1,000 times more conservative than our liberal country is right now. And so we need to gravitate back to that. So I'll stand on a stump and I'll declare that, all right? So if your girl lost yesterday, I don't mean to offend you, but listen, we're talking about this tonight, all right? All right. Everybody good? I ain't made anybody too mad yet. If I did, pray, intercede for me, pray for me, and say, God, just enlighten him. Everybody in Isaiah 44? All right, we're going to start in verse 28. I want to provoke thought, like I said. I want you to notice something right here. This is Isaiah, and he's coming in, and he is prophetically declaring some things. He is speaking in verses 28, and I'm just going to read down through verse 4. He's going to be speaking verses 28 through down through verse 4 is what I'm reading. He is writing this 300 years before it happens. He's calling this cat out by name 300 years before he ever steps foot in his kingship. That's God. He's prophetically declaring. This was written in 712 B.C., according to the timeline we go by. This stuff didn't happen until 400 and something B.C. So 300 years before, Isaiah is prophesying and declaring. Now let's look. He says, verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Now this Cyrus that he's speaking about is a Persian king that is going to ascend and take the throne some 300 and something years later. Cyrus is an unbeliever. I'm not up here saying that Trump is God's man because he's righteous, or Hillary is God's woman because she's righteous. You know, I don't see any fruit in either one make me feel all warm and fuzzy that they're in this deep covenant relationship with Yahweh. But God can come in, and God can use later on, we're going to read this in verse 4, he says, I've surnamed thee even though you have not known me. So he's sitting here and he's saying, there's a Persian king that is going to sit on the throne. And he's going to rule my people that are taken away into captivity. And he said, I am going to use him and I'm going to make him great. And the reason, here's what he says, the reason that I'm going to do this is for my people. I can't stand it. I'm just going to go ahead and run on out here. Y'all just get over it. And this has nothing to do with personality or likes. But I believe that the Donald Trump is God's gift to the church, even though I don't think he's a saved man. That's just what it feels like to me. That's what it feels like to me. And the reason I say that is because we have a chance to come in and to get our country more aligned with Yahweh. It has no more to do with him than Nebuchadnezzar had to do with him. It has no more to do with him than Darius had to do with him. It has no more to do with him than Cyrus had to do with him. He said, this Cyrus cat, it ain't about him. It's about my people. It's about my church. And the opportunity is for me to get my heart right, for me to get my act together, for me to get more diligent. How many of y'all have slacked off on the abortion issue with your prayer life? Because you felt like it was a lost cause. I bet if you got honest, every Christian in here would say, man, I have slacked off on that. Even though millions of babies got aborted last year in the United States of America. Right? Go ahead, Carla.
this election like never before. I truly believe that it was God, that it was a supernatural move, that Donald Trump is president. There's no other way to explain it, because look at all the money. The money's always been able, power, money. You know, Clinton could have won, but God didn't want Clinton to win. My fear is now that we'll stop praying.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, I've been convicted. I haven't prayed. I didn't pray for Obama like I should have. Not even anywhere close. Mm-hmm. But we've all seen what God does, what He wants to do. So I hope it's lit a fire in every one of us that it didn't just stop because He won and it's over. No, the fight's just now beginning.
That's
really.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Right. And that's what I want to really come up with tonight, guys. This is not about. It is about, because He's a vehicle. But it's not about, ooh, you know, let's beat our chest and say, you know, we finally got a Republican back in office. Come on, guys, God ain't a Republican. If you think God's a 35-year-old white Republican, you need to get over that. All right? You need to get over that. But this is an opportunity for the church to move and stir. I see what liberal education system does to our kids, especially when they get into college years and all of that stuff. We see it some in the grade schools, but I've seen what liberal education does to our kids and all of that stuff. And man, I want my kids to be rock solid in this. I don't care if they carry an NRA card or carry a, you know, I'm a registered Republican card or a libertarian or whatever. You fill in the blank. I don't care. But I want them to be aligned with this. All right? And so I just feel like we have opportunity here. And I really feel like that this is a gift that God's given us as opportunity. So verse 45, thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus. I didn't realize this, but I was reading one of the commentaries in my Scofield Bible, and it said that this is the only time that God ever called a Gentile anointed. In the Scripture, it says it's the only time that God ever called a Gentile anointed. And the reason that He called him anointed, because He said, "You're in my hand." It wasn't because you're good. It wasn't because you're bright. It wasn't because you did this and you're mighty and all of that. It said the reason you're anointed is because you are in my hand. You're my chosen for such a time as this. That kind of sounds like the church, isn't it? The only thing that makes me righteous is His righteousness in me. The only thing that gives me wisdom is His wisdom in me. The only thing that makes me good is His goodness in me. Amen? So, that it sounds a lot like He's speaking to us. So, thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make thee crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, now listen to this. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. For Jacob, my servant's sake, in Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I'm going to go ahead and run out here and get away from being a little bit narcissistic when I say that what has happened is a gift to the church. Just perhaps what has happened is a gift to Israel. Because we have had years where our country has got Republicans and Democrats alike have gone further and further and further and tried to distance ourselves from Israel and distance ourselves from Israel. You know what God says about Israel? He said, "You're my chosen." He said, I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. We have, us as a nation, we have. Yes. Yes. So perhaps this is an opportunity for us as a nation to get more aligned, properly aligned with Israel the way that we should be. You notice that when our country was hitting in a real sweet spot in the late 40s and 50s and all of that stuff, I mean, where our country was doing good morally, we were doing good economically, the family unit was what it was supposed to be. I mean, everything was clicking. I'm not saying we didn't have issues. You had segregation issues. You had junk like that. We had some jacked up areas. But for the most part, we were moving in a good path and all that. I don't think it's coincidence in 1948 that us and Great Britain and a few other countries carved out the nation of Israel and said, we're establishing you in your sovereignty. God established you, but we're making a place for you. And I think God's blessings came on the heels of that. I believe that. He wasn't lying when he said, I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. So he looked in this right here and he said, for Jacob my servant, say, what's and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. He said, dude, this ain't got nothing to do with you. You're really blessed to be a blessing, but it ain't about you, Cyrus. This is about Israel. So we can look at it from two fronts. This is a gift to us, but this is a gift to the nation of Israel as well. The opportunity that is in front of us as a church, as a people, as a nation. All right? So I'm laying out this groundwork of we've got this opportunity for us. We've got this opportunity for Israel. So we say, okay, we got this opportunity. What can I do? I voted. Now what can I do? Now's when we come in and we pray and we intercede, perhaps even more diligent and harder than we did before election, for the proper counselors to be in place. If it's the Ben Carsons, then they need to be not just, if he doesn't need to be Secretary of Education, he needs to be over here. He might need to be an ambassador somewhere. Maybe Mike Huckabee. I'm real impressed with the vice president. I believe he's saved and knows the Lord. The more I see and hear this guy and read about this guy, he's got a relationship with Christ. I don't think it's a coincidence that he got nominated instead of Newt Gingrich. And I think Newt is a brilliant man. And I like Newt because of his sovereignty for the United States. He's a history professor. He knows what America's about. He appreciates, and he'll fight and he'll defend that. He's not a citizen of the world. He's a citizen of the United States. And so I was like, man, Newt would be awesome. I hope he goes for Newt and all of that. And then I start finding out about Mike Pence, and I'm like, now I see. Maybe, just maybe, Trump didn't pick Pence. Maybe God picked Pence. Because all of a sudden, Pence is where? He's in his ear.
To connect himself with
no, risky. You talking about risky?
Very risky. Where he has been in the political part of it was not a good move for him.
You either go hit a home run or you're gonna strike out.
Yeah.
And it might just mark you for the rest of your political career, because you'd been a good guy in the House of Representatives, you'd been a good governor, doing the right thing, a man of integrity and character and all that stuff, and now you're hooking yourself with this. Wild card over here. I mean, to say the least. I don't think Trump's smart enough to pick Pence. But I think God prompted. And you know what he is? He's an advisor. He's a counselor. He is in the ear. And he's in the public and all of that stuff. That's significant, guys. And he comes in and he said, I didn't do it for you, I did it for Jacob. I didn't do it for you, I did it for Israel, mine elect. This is what this is all about. This is, get off your narcissistic self. Well, I Look at the big picture. That's my thing. That's my thing. Look at the big picture. That's what we're trying to provoke thought on that. Look at the big picture. That was the issue I had with some of the you know, big dog Christians that I used to think of a lot about. And I said, I can't do this because he, you know, he's beautiful. I look at the big picture. I get that. Look at the big picture, okay? I had issue with some of the Christian leaders that stepped up. Let's look at the big picture. I ain't calling no names, Beth Moore, or anything like that. I'm just saying. Turn to Daniel 2. Daniel 2. Everybody good? All right. Any comments? Any comments? Go ahead, Robert.
This was 22nd or so. Trump had formed an advisory board, evangelical advisory board, and some of the names, the top 25 names that were on there, James Dobson, Ken Copeland, and Gloria Copeland. I mean, just A. Bernard, all them guys are on there. And they were not, they were specifically asked by him not to endorse him, but just be there as wise counsel for him to advise him when he needed it.
And that's crucial. And every sitting president has done some of that. Obama has had some powerful evangelicals come in and meet with him. And I've listened to some of them say, man, I went in and prayed with the president and all of that stuff. So all of them are open to that to a certain level. It's just how much availability. And that's how much influence, right? Because I can hear counsel, but if I don't give it a place of influence in my life. And so that's what we want to do, guys, is really pray that not only do these people have a place, but they have an ear. What have we been talking about with the warfare of Esther? Was it with a sword? She had the king's ear. She had the king's ear. And that was her warfare. So I just want to everybody at Daniel 2, I want to talk about the importance of counselors and praying for the counselors of a king. Now, I'll say this. Esther, the significance of a counselor. Everybody familiar with the story of Esther? Esther pretty much single-handedly, stopped the Holocaust. Haman was working on a plot to have every Jew in the nation killed. Holocaust. Greater than what Hitler did. They were going to get all of them. If you're a Jew, you're dead. And Esther came in, and through proper positioning and favor and all of that and everything she did, and y'all, you know, we could talk 10 weeks on the story of Esther and everything. We've been doing some teaching on that. But she wound up marrying the king, found favor, saved the people and all of that. None of that would have happened if it had not been for one individual. Who was that individual? Mordecai. Her cousin, uncle. Some say cousin, some say uncle. Mordecai was the one that came in and gave her counsel and said, do this, and do this, and do this, and do this. And you know what she did? She listened to the counsel. Because she had the gift of beauty. But there were about 300 other virgins in there, and every one of them was hot, I guarantee you. There wasn't nobody marginal that got in on that one, that beauty contest, and got in the king's court and did all that. Wasn't anybody where you're like, okay, she must have a great personality. Wasn't none of that. What I'm saying is it's got to get beyond skill and gifting. And it has to be a place to where the person will receive counsel, will listen to counsel, take that counsel, and then use it. Now, here's the thing, guys. Esther wasn't the king in this case. She was the what? Counselor. But a counselor has to position themselves to take counsel. A lot of times the girls will come to me and they say, hey, I think we need to do this. I think we need to do that. Lori will come to me. And she's got my, she my neck. You know what I mean? She turned me around every which way. Just saying. I know I don't have much of house, right, Shane? But there's got to be a place where you come in and that counsel is given. And it's not just, let me give you some wise advice. It's got to be, this is what I feel like heaven's saying. If you want your counsel to shift, quit using the wisdom of the world. Even quit using your experience. Because you'll say, this worked for me last time and this is what I've seen work. And get to the place where you say, you're so in tune with God and you're hearing the voice of God, where you say, I think this is what God wants for this time, for such a time as this, for this moment. He knew what the plan was, but there had to be a time also. And he's like, okay, now, let's release it now. This may seem off, but it's really not. I was reading an article about Matt Ryan this year. Y'all know who Matt Ryan is? He's a quarterback of the Falcons. Anybody likes football, y'all should connect with this all of a sudden. Matt Ryan's a quarterback of the Falcons. And Matt Ryan he's been a good quarterback through the years. He had the worst year of his career last year. And there were a lot of people, and I'm not a huge pro football fan, but I kind of halfway keep up with the Falcons. And a lot of people were like, man, he's done. I said he was done. I've had conversations with people. I said, man, he's done. That joker, he's, had a good run and all that stuff. But he's done. This year, he's having an MVP-type season. They're saying he's one of the leading guys for the MVP. And I was reading an article on him, and they were talking about what they are attributing the resurgence of Matt Ryan this year. And it wasn't just, well, they got a better offensive line. That helps. But he went out to California, and he spent time with this quarterback guru. Can't remember the guy's name. But he spent time with him out there. And he said, you know what I'm doing this year? He said, I'm not looking at the field and reading coverage. He said, what I'm doing this year, I'm not overthinking it. He said, I'm looking for spots. And when I see a spot that might be soft or a spot that I can deliver the ball, I'm putting the ball at the spot. So he said, I am looking at spots, looking for spots. And that's more detail than sit back. What we've tried to do is sit back and say, what kind of defense are they in? Are these guys faking me off on this? Are they floating back a deep safety? Is a corner bite? What's going on? And we'll sit here and we'll try to figure thing out. And by that time, the play's over. But he's looking at and finding a spot, and by his skill set and his intuitive nature on this, because he's good, he said, that's the spot I'm going to strike. And if we want to be effective as Christians, we have to adopt this same mindset, James, that I'm looking for a spot of opportunity. That might be witnessing to somebody. I catch just that right spot. It might be a point. How many of y'all, sometimes y'all been soft and open and supple to God coming in and touching and ministering to you, and sometimes it's like, I'm too busy for this. But the right spot. You catch me the right spot, I'll just start blubbering and crying and all that stuff, and it's like the Holy Spirit sees the little missing scale in my armor, okay? Like Smaug, and he puts that arrow in there and he gets me. But we've got to start looking for spots. Spots of influence, spots of this is what heaven is saying about right now. This is what heaven's saying about right now. God's teaching me something through my grandkids right now. There'll be something coming up, and there'll be a prayer need or something like that, and they'll be just like, well, let's pray about it right now. Ain't none of this, I'll be praying for you. It's like, let's pray about it right now. I mean, that's Sydney Hannah, that's Zealand, that's Caroline. They coming in 2, 3, 4 year old and learning. Let's pray about this thing right now. Why are we talking about I'll throw it out there. Well, I'll be praying for you. How many of y'all told somebody I'll be praying for you and you forget about it by the time they walk off? We do, don't we? Terrible about that. I'm learning from Ida came down here and she was telling me Sunday after church. She came down and she was talking about it's her lungs, right? It's her lungs. There's something, too much pressure in her lungs, I think it's what she said. Too much pressure in her lungs. And I said, she told me the story and all that. And I said, well, I'll be praying for you, sister, and all that stuff. And God's like, you going to do that again? And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, Ida, let's pray about this right now. So we stood down here in the front after everybody was leaving and gone and all that, and we prayed about it right then because there was a spot. And you know what? It felt right. I felt power in that moment. Oh, there you are. I didn't even see you. I felt power in that moment, Ida. And it would have been real easy for me to say, well, I'll be praying for you, sister. We've all done that. And God wants us in these places, in these moments of opportunity for counsel. of opportunity for influence. You might be influencing an influencer. You guys in leadership, y'all may not have a direct voice in the direction of the Black House, but there's a cat sitting on the back row that does. And while you may not have a direct voice in the direction of Black House, you may have a direct voice in his ear. See what I'm saying on this? You got different levels. I mean, that's what this is different levels. That I can come in and... Perfect example. Y'all remember the story of King Herod and John the Baptist? Y'all know what happened with John the Baptist with King Herod? Got his head cut off, right? You know how he got his head cut off? King Herod's wife wanted John's head. He didn't like it because John had been preaching. She was living in adultery. Because Herod had taken his brother's wife and took her for his own wife. And so she didn't like it. And she wanted John the Baptist's head. I want it on a charger. But they're throwing this feast, and she has got a daughter that is not his daughter, but it's her daughter. And she does this dance, and it so whacks out the king, he said, I'll give you anything you want. You just tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you. So you know what she asked for? The thing that mama looked at her and said, you know what to ask for. She probably didn't care about John the Baptist's head. She's this little 17-year-old girl. She could think of a thousand things that I can ask the king for. You know, dude, give me a Lamborghini. Right? And something besides the head of this old grizzly-looking prophet that's been preaching against my mama. But she was a tier two. She was a tier two supplier. And so you know what she was doing? She was coming in, and she had direct influence on what was going to happen to the king because she could influence her mother. And her mother had the... And we can even reverse that and say she was the one that had favor with the king, and her mother was a tier two. So her mother came in behind and said, this is what I want. So she said, hey, give me a head of John the Baptist. I bet later on she said, Mom, I hope that was worth that because I could have got a lot more than that. You see how this works? You see how this works? Our kids have been professionals at it for years. They'll go to Mama and say, Mama, I want this. And so Mama will go to Daddy and say, ooh, I really think we need to do this. And all the whole time it wound up, it's really started out as a five-year-old's idea. But it's powerful because it gains favor. It gains favor. And that's what we're talking about. We need the people that can make decisions. We need to find favor, and we need to be able to interject godly influence, godly reason. Most of these folks, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue about kingdom stuff, but we do. So we can come in and we can, and it's more than pushing our agenda. This is not pushing our agenda. This is releasing kingdom. All right? Let's look on, let's read something. What time is it, somebody? If I got 10 minutes? What time? All right, I got 14 minutes. Here we go. Like I said, I had 24 minutes. I'm going to read this real quickly because I just want to lay out some stuff on Daniel right here. Daniel was a Jewish captive in Babylon. He lived a really long time, and he found favor with every king that he sat under. Every king that he served. He was so good at serving. He was so good at what he did. So excellent at what he did. Had such an excellent spirit about him. And had such favor with God that he went through three pagan kings and was in a place of influence on all three. He helped shape the face of that known world as a eunuch servant to a king. But he understood the principle of godly counsel and God positioning you in a place of favor. He got it, and so you know what he did? He seized the moment. And that's what we've got to do, is we've got to get it and we've got to seize the moment. You might be working for the most pagan, heathen. You're assistant manager, right? You're the man, huh? You got a supervisor, though, don't you? You might be working for the biggest heathen on the planet. Maybe. But here's the thing, is that you can still find a position of influence and release kingdom into some of his decision making that will benefit a lot of people simply by understanding the principle of positioning and favor and wise counsel. Utilize that. The guys that are around me, they have influence on me. Brett Kent has influence on me. James has influence on me. Scott has influence on me. They have my ear on stuff. They'll come to me and they'll say, well, I might not always agree, but a lot of times they sway because I don't see it that way. I'm like, oh, okay. Lori came up to me about this. She actually sent me a text and said, I done told Sonny to send an email out and all that. And I'm like, cool. Sounds good. That didn't originate with me. But I felt it was something powerful that was released from our church. Okay? Daniel right here served three different kingdoms. He lived a long life and served three different kingdoms as a counselor. All right, let's read a little bit real quick. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. And he goes on with this. He said, I'm dreaming these dreams, these repetitious dreams, and they're troubling me. It's keeping me up at night. And he brings in all of these people that are supposed to give him wise counsel. He brings in every one of his counselors. Okay? And then he comes in down here in verse 13, and it says, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So everybody, because nobody could give the king the interpretation of the dream, he said, I'll just kill all of them. He hadn't approached Daniel yet, but he fell in that lot because he was one of the eunuchs that sat in the king's court. He was supposed to have wisdom and understanding, which he did. We read in chapter 1, he was amazing with that. But he didn't have a direct line to the king yet on this. So we see verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Hello, sometimes to start with, you don't have the direct ear of the king, but you've got the ear of somebody that's got the ear. See what we're talking about in this? That's important to know. Because what you will do is you'll say, if I'm not close enough to the top, I have no effect. When they lived in New Zealand, there was a tsunami that came through, and we were worried. We were trying to call them and say, man, you know, because they live in Auckland, right on the ocean and everything. There was a tsunami that came. But where did that tsunami originate? Way out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, thousands of miles away. But that ground swell and the building that came, and it moved and it moved and it moved. It doesn't like there's not an earthquake right there, and then 5 yards over, then all of a sudden you got the... It happens out in there. And so the ripple effect is powerful, guys. The ripple effect of our actions is powerful. The ripple effect of our counsel is powerful. So he had the ear of the captain of the king's guard. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Look at this. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. You know what they're saying? God, give us supernatural wisdom. I can't tell him what the dream is and the interpretation of the dream. He doesn't even remember what the dream was. This is an impossible situation. So he's coming in and he's praying, God, give us supernatural wisdom. Part of your prayer is not just for those that are in authority and those that are doing this and this and this and saying, boy, I hope something just comes to me at some point in time. But pray, say, God, give me an excellent spirit. God, give me wisdom. God, give me insight. God, give, not insight, God, give me revelation. Revelation's deeper than insight. A non-spiritual man can have insight through intellect. He said, God, give me revelation. And start praying for this. And say, God, I want that. I want... What did it say about the one group of people in the Bible? It said they had an understanding of the times and what needed to be done. Y'all remember that? It calls out the specific group. And it said, these guys had an understanding of the times and what needed to be done. That should be part of our prayer for ourselves. You know what our prayer is? God, help me pay my power bill. And I'm not saying that's not a legit prayer, but man, we get hung up on that. I get hung up on that stuff. God, I need you to move in this area. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And my prayer needs to be, it needs to be deeper. It needs to be more specific in things. All right? You say, well, that's huge to me. But we get hung up on that and it's a mountain we never get around. You know? And we need to come in and say, God, give me supernatural wisdom. That I can release life into whatever situation. I can release life into my business. I can release life into my school. I can release life into family. I can release life into the church. Y'all should be praying, God, give me words of knowledge. Before y'all come in here on Sunday, Saturday night when you're consecrating, like I know y'all do, when you're consecrating yourself Saturday night and getting before the God in before God in preparation for Sunday morning. I know we do that. You know what you need to be praying? God, stir gifts up in me. Give me a gift of prophecy so I can release that into somebody's life. Give me a word of knowledge that's going to change somebody's life. How many of y'all prayed that lately? Have you asked God for that lately, T-Dub? You're in a good place right now. I think you're doing pretty good. I brag on you guys to Lori all the time. I said, T-Dub, man, I love them. They're just such a cute little couple. And just, you know, I know y'all are nearly as old as me, getting close, but you know what I'm saying. But see what we're saying? We're doing good, and we're doing good. Man, I'm loving my wife. My kids are doing good, and they're loving Jesus, and life's great, and all of that stuff. But there's a whole new level we can enter into, where you came in, and you come in, and you say, God, give me a word of knowledge. Give me a prophetic word. Give me prophetic worship. Not let me hit my notes good. God, let me flow in prophetic worship that's going to release something. It's going to release. Y'all talked about shifting the atmosphere and shifting the heavens for the election. Do we come before God on Saturday night and say, God, do that for Sunday morning through me? And that's what Daniel, that was his preparatory thing, Brandon. He was coming in and he said, God, give us supernatural wisdom. Because number one, I don't want to die. But I don't want all these other guys to die. Because that's what was about to happen. And so he comes in and he asks that. And you know what God does? God grants it. I know I'm animated tonight, guys. I'm sorry. I'm fired up. God grants it. He gives him the dream and the interpretation of the dream. So then he comes into the king and he says, King, I've got the answer. And he releases. For time's sake, I'm not going to read all this scripture. But he releases it to the king. You know what the king does? Here's the thing about Daniel. Not only did he tell him the dream, but he told him the interpretation of the dream. And then he came in on the end of it and said, oh, and by the way, I didn't get that on my own. God gave that to me. Yahweh gave that to me. I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I ain't really that smart, King, but I got a God. I'm in covenant with somebody that knew me before the foundations of the earth. And he spoke all of this into existence. And he's the true king that sits on the throne. And he's the one that gave this to me. You know what Nebuchadnezzar said? He was blown away. The word says that the king fell on his face before Daniel.
Tell me that ain't big.
king, you've got a conquered people, a eunuch. That means he's been castrated, so he can't reproduce who they like. He is like, man, he is just set aside for serving the king. And he comes in with supernatural words. He comes in with supernatural anointing. He releases life into this king. And you know what it causes the king to do? Fall on his face before Daniel. You say, this man's arrogant. You say, Donald Trump's arrogant. I agree. But you let God get in the middle of it. And you know what? Humility. True encounter with God brings true humility. Huh? I've been arrogant many seasons and arenas and areas of my life. There's still areas that I think, I'm not arrogant. God said, yeah, you are. You got pride. You got arrogance. You got all of this stuff. But when we have a true encounter, you know what it does. One prophetic word, one word of knowledge from UTW in somebody's ear can do more than 1,000 good sermons from me. Because they'll know God's speaking to them and not just speaking through me. How many times have y'all known God was speaking to you on something? And it's like, He knows my name. He knows what's going on in my life. That's what always freaks me out about God. You know, He got all this busy going on, and He's going to stop and whisper something in my ear. And I'm just like, is that not amazing? That's the significance of a place of counsel. Of a counselor that releases kingdom life into a situation. Okay? That releases kingdom life into a situation. That's what changes everything. That's what changes everything. I don't want any administration, I don't care if it's state administration or national administration, to appoint people just on the fact that this cat is smart and been successful in business and all that. Yeah, I want somebody excellent, but you know what I really want is God to handpick who He wants where. And guys, that breaks down onto every level. You know what you ought to be praying on your kids every year before school year? God, you put them with the right teacher. Some of y'all do, and y'all get it on that level, but you don't get it on higher up. How many times have you prayed that the boys would get the right teacher? Every year. Yay, good job, Sharon. That's awesome. That is. Because a lot of people don't do that. Then they get mad when they get from, well, I wish they'd have got Billy Bob. I know he'd have done better with them. All right, let's run that flag on up the flagpole. God, you put the right one. You let me have the right encounter. You let this person come into this place. Got to be the right fit. Got to be kingdom fit for every situation. And we could go, man, we could keep telling you story after story after story about Daniel, but we're about to pray story after story after Daniel. But Daniel comes in and Daniel influences kings and Daniel influences kingdoms. You know what happens later on under Cyrus the king that we read about in Isaiah 44 and Isaiah 45? You know what Cyrus did? Because God said, I put you in position to bless my people. And it's about Israel and it ain't about you. You know what happened? He paid for the temple to get rebuilt. Ezra came in and Ezra was a contemporary. He came in and he found favor. Who had been influencing him? Daniel. This thing of influence might not promote you, but you know what it might do? Doggone, it might promote Robert. Huh? It might promote that. So this Cyrus, this king that God put in place as a gift to Israel, that was a Persian pagan king. He said, even though you don't know me, I'm going to use you to bless my people. He sent them back to rebuild the temple. 14 years later, you know what happened? Artaxerxes followed suit, sent them back to rebuild the walls under Nehemiah. When Ezra got sent back to rebuild the temple, not only did they pay for the temple, but they got all of the vessels that had been taken out of the original temple in Jerusalem. They kept them. They recorded them. And you know what he did? He sent them back with him. I read the inventory of it earlier. It was 20-something hundred vessels of gold and silver. 20-something hundred vessels of gold and silver. Got restored back by a pagan king. Maybe, just maybe, we're in a time in our country right now where we can get some stuff restored back, even if it's under a pagan king. Just maybe. Think about the possibilities. I'm excited about it because I see a possibility. I see possibility. Influence. Counsel. That's what we need. That's what we need to be. And that's what we need. So, Linda, and then we'll stand and pray.
Talking about Daniel and that spirit of excellence that was on him. He didn't go around bad-mouthing the kings that he served.
Yes.
He had a spirit of excellence on him. He prayed. Daniel was a man of prayer. Therefore, he was a man of influence. We can learn, church. Yes. We can learn. We don't need to be out bad-mouthing what we don't agree with. Let's influence.
Yes.
Let's get on our face. Let's pray. Let's influence. That's our lesson.
You know what salt and light does? Salt savors stuff. It influences the taste of stuff. Okay? You know what light does? It dispels darkness. In itself, an extreme light, it's a laser and it can burn something up. But when it influences, God positioned us X number of miles away from the sun so it would influence us but not destroy us. We've been all about destroying stuff instead of influencing stuff. And it's time we started turning into influencers. Okay? Well, let's stand to our feet. I want to do something different tonight. What time is it, Micah? Did I do good? 8:04. I did fantastic. That's awesome for me. All right, let's do something different. Everybody get in a big circle. We're going to join hands. Everybody get in a big circle. I don't care how pretty it is. I just want everybody connected. Yeah. It can be as crooked and wavy. That's fine. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, I'm going to lead us, but I want you just to begin to pray specifically right now. I want you to pray specifically for counselors. Tonight's been all about counselors. I don't want you to sit in here. You can go pray for Trump and pray for the last 2 months of the Obama administration. Y'all can pray for all that when you get home tonight. But right now, with the spirit of what's going on, I want us, the unction in this house, I want us to specifically pray for counselors that will be put into place on every level. Because the counselors that get in the ear of the decision makers determine our Supreme Court. The counselors that get in the ear determine our posture toward Israel. They determine our posture toward Russia. This is big stuff, guys. It determines our posture as a nation and our posture before God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face and call on me, I will heal their land. There needs to be some healing going on in our nation. There's racial division. There's ideology division. There's so much division in our country right now. And we need Him to heal our land. So our posture before Him goes a long way. So right now we're specifically going to pray for counselors. God, You put the right counselors in the presidents. I'll say dents because we got two right now. We've got one sitting and one coming in a couple months. Right counselors in their ear. The right counselor in every lawmaker's ear. We've got a Senate in the House. Right counsel in their ear. So that's what we want to focus. That's what we want to pray on. All right? Y'all ready? Hey, if you get rolling in this thing, just start praying in tongues. You ain't going to offend nobody. Holy Spirit can pray better than you can anyway. About half the time I was praying down here the other day, I couldn't do nothing but pray in tongues. So, y'all let's go. All right, everybody ready? Everybody focused on what we're about right now? All right, Father, we come to you. And we love you, Lord, and we lift you up. And, Lord, I thank you for what I'm feeling right now, Lord. I thank you for, Lord, it feels right as far as opportunity for the church, for your people, God. And I pray that we would come in and we would begin to release influence. And we would come in and we would see ourselves and find ourselves as people of counsel, that we would be counselors on the levels that we're at, God. And that we would recognize this mantle and this opportunity that is upon us. And right now, Father, I pray for our nation. I pray that a shift would begin to take place. And that we would shift more in alignment with you, Father, that goes beyond our political preference. It goes beyond our race or our background or our demographics or anything, God. But we would just begin to shift back into proper alignment with you. And Lord, I believe a key to that, I believe a push from you, a key to that, Father, is going to be counselors. And I pray, God, that you would just begin to put counselors in places of influence. They don't even have to be invisible authority, but if they've got influence toward that authority, then the fruit's going to come of it. And I pray that the proper counselors would be put into place. God, I pray that these men and I pray that these women would posture themselves to be used by you. I pray that they would find favor so that they could be used by you. God, take the heathen, God, the ones that aren't looking for you, that aren't coming in and saying, I'm going to base these decisions on kingdom. They may not even know what kingdom is. Let them not even understand why they're making these decisions. But God, just stir and just move, Lord, supernaturally upon them. That they would make decisions that might not even make sense to them. But God, just let it feel right to them. Let it feel right to them, Father. And Lord, we just lift up these counselors. We lift up the words that they're going to say. We lift up the spirit that they're going to release, the influence that they're going to release, and we just pray supernatural wisdom. We pray they would hear the voice of heaven. They would understand your heart. They would be like the men of Issachar that had an understanding of the times and what needed to be done. Put that spirit upon them, Father. Only let it be under a new covenant, not an old covenant. Because that trumps the old covenant, God. And if the men of Issachar could operate in that spirit of excellence, how much greater can we operate as spirit-filled sons and daughters of yours? God, I pray that these people would just rise up. I pray that they would come out of a place of complacency or come out of a place of just coming in and trying to hide themselves. And they would step forward in who they are. And they would be like Daniel. And they would be bold and they would be brave and they would be fearless and they would take risks. And they would look to you and they would ask for your wisdom and your heart, God. And I pray you'd speak through them. And I pray that they would help direct our nation. I pray that your strategic people would help direct and chart the course for our nation, God, as we turn back to you. And Lord, we as your people, we humble ourselves and we love you. We lift you up. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for sonship. And we thank you for being your elected bride. And we say yes to that. And we run to that and don't shrink back from that. Lord, we just praise you and we exalt you. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. In his name we place all of our hope tonight. Amen.